Attention, calling all whispering hunties. Oh, grrr.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Nijon, a self-proclaimed semi-drag race expert.
And I'm Nick. I've never watched it before.
And together we are whispering hunties. We're back again.
Hello. We are back. We have to come back. There's so much to talk about.
I know. I'm so glad that we got to like chit chat about Matthew's career and UK Drag Race, which finally premiered. And the icing on the cake is that we have another dose of Drag Race coming right back at you.
Absolutely. And that's only a good thing when you think about it, even though it's more work, because then we just get to talk with our guests even more. Aww. And we can't wait to hear more from Matthew.
I sure you betcha. Matthew's a darling. It is an honor to sit and listen to his dulcet tones, you know, go over mic. And, you know, I'm so glad that hopefully we're all joining the friendom.
Maybe I'm a rat. I could be a rat.
I will not subscribe rats. To being a rat. You
rats are good.
Can you imagine your fans calling you
rat? It's funny to me that his fandom was like, yeah, we're rats. Because, like, I love rats. I love all Earth's creatures. But to be like a fandom who is saying, yes, we are the rats.
Yeah. But you know what? On the cute side, he's such a darling. He's embraced
yes.
it.
Yes. Because a fandom is going to do what a fandom's going to do.
Friendum.
And you got to embrace it.
Or is it fandom now? Standum?
Right. Maybe it's a standum.
Oh my gosh. So let's get into the drag race. Let's get into the Whispering Hunties and let's get into
F8. Enjoy.
Because this virus attacks the lungs,
it's never more infuriating when you realize that your life has a price tag on it.
The truth of the matter is, we are in the middle of an apocalypse.
There's no leadership.
I went from being an ER nurse to you're a healthcare hero. I feel like a sham.
Apocalypse Now is a podcast that asks if we are living at the beginning of the end. I'm Joanna Van Thine. Join me every week as I talk with interesting people and decide if we're all doomed. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
What would you say is your COVID wisdom?
I've learned that I don't know how to wear a proper outfit anymore. Like, if someone told me that I had to go to a nice dinner, I'd be like, shorts? Can I wear shorts? Like,
sweats are okay, right?
Like, I haven't gotten... Like, I'm excited to have my hair redyed next week and then, like, maybe have to, like, be put on pants, hopefully. Like, I'm very like confused as to how I'm gonna function in society if any of this ever ends. But COVID wisdom, I think, is like, I've acknowledged to myself, and I think I've acknowledged with my circle around me, that like everyone can cut themselves a bit of slack, because I don't think that there's a single human being, at least alive nowadays, that does well being alone with their thoughts. I don't think that like anyone functions well when we just sit with our thoughts. We as human beings are like creatures that participate in the worst case scenario in our head in all situations, in social situations, in everything. And being left alone with that with time isn't going to be good for anyone. So I think I've cut myself some slack that like, I feel like I'm losing my mind, but it's all part of the process. Like, no one's wired to go through this. So I think I'm also learning some patience. I'm learning that I am significantly too large of a person for the size of apartment I have in downtown Vancouver. I moved from like a little bit, I had like a lot of space in the burbs. And at the start of COVID, I moved downtown. I was like, great, awesome. I'm going to be living downtown in my favorite city in the world. But obviously you move right in the heart of downtown. The spaces are smaller. And now I can't leave. And I'm like, maybe more space would be nice. So
I wonder about all the people I know who live in houses like in the Midwest or something like that, or even around here, and they feel trapped inside. Penny.
I'm like, y'all can go for a walk.
Yeah. Try an apartment that's a quarter of the size.
Oh my gosh. When I leave my apartment, it looks like New York City streets on a busy work day. So I'm like, okay, so I'm just trapped in the apartment. And I'm like, ooh, let me pace back and forth from this part. I'm like, oh, let me pace back and forth from that part. I'm like, oh, great. I've done 10 laps of the apartment in 30 seconds. And I'm going to go sit on the deck and stare into the abyss.
Well, I definitely think that being locked in is what is letting people kind of like sit with their own thoughts. And it's making a lot of us do some internal work. And, you know, learning to be like happier with ourselves. You know, I've really been thinking a lot more about like, what is it that makes me content? And how do I build that sort of like feedback loop? And, you know, it's made me a lot more sensitive to the idea that like, you know, life is like about finding like the right rhythm. You know, and when you're out of sync with your own rhythm, you feel terrible, right? Like the music isn't, you know, you're probably out of tune because the note that you're singing is not in tune with the other note that's playing. And then you're either playing catch up or you're like, or you definitely know that you're like way ahead and like, you know, you're like, where is everyone going? So like, if you can find a happy rhythm, you know, you can find contentment. And that almost to me is better than being happy, because the highs and lows are great, but like, you know, it's like when you finish like a really good performance and then you're like, oh, and now I have nothing to do for like.
It's all downhill from here.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I honestly think about this a lot too. And especially in the industry that I'm in, it's like chasing, like unless every single person in the world likes my music and I've won every single Grammy in every category, there's always going to be more to acquire. Also, I'm realizing then what happens if you reach that? I see all these very successful artists and artists around me that are doing, you know, better than I am. And I see them like, I want that, but they wanted that. And now they're not celebrating it. It's the instinct of, I have it. Now I have something to lose and I need more immediately.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay, that's a cycle that never stops. So it's wonderful to like keep working hard and strive for things and to achieve my goals. But I want to have perspective on it that that's not going to bring me happiness, that like the journey of getting there may bring me happiness. But I don't think that just like, you know, holding that Grammy in my hand for 10 seconds, I know for me would initially turn into, oh my gosh, am I going to be a one-hit wonder, or I need more of these now, or, oh my gosh, I'm going to win a Grammy and then never do anything ever again. Like it's that's human instinct, is to take that moment, not celebrate it, and then panic. So I'm just not placing happiness in those things. I'm placing it in like being able to do what I love every day.
Oh, perfect. That's the key, I think, right there. It's like life is in all the little moments.
Look at that. COVID wisdom. Look at that. Look at us go.
Oh my God.
What a nice clean segment.
COVID wisdom. Okay, let's take a quick break and then we'll be back with, oh my God, Drag Race? More Drag Race?
What is that?
So much Drag Race.
I love cars. Is it like Herbie Fully Loaded?
Yes. Actually, yeah, a lot like that.
Hey there, Robo fans and Dino fans. Do you like science fiction? Do you like movies about robots and dinosaurs? Do you like podcasts that explore sci-fi philosophy through a fun and positive lens? Then you are going to love Robots vs. Dinosaurs. Every week, your host, Louis G, invites a guest onto the show to talk about one of their favorite sci-fi movies. It's a RoboCast. It's a DinoCast. It's a battle for ultimate awesomeness in science fiction pop culture. Subscribe to Robots vs. Dinosaurs on Apple, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. New episodes every Friday. Follow us on Instagram at Robos the Dinos or Twitter at Versus Robots. That is at VS Robots.
So can we talk about that U.S. Drag Race that just happened? Like, oh my God.
We got to. We got to talk about those girls. We haven't seen them for a week.
Now, it's not a competition, but it is because they're airing at the same damn time. But I felt very comfortable coming back to US Drag Race after watching UK, because I feel like I've gotten 2 weeks to get to know the girls. You know, I've seen them lip sync. I've been gagging and gigging. So like, whereas I had the like awkward transition into like going, you know, switching from American English to British English. When I came back to RuPaul's Drag Race US, I was like, this is not your regular season of Drag Race. No. This is an all-stars season with, like, people doing it for the first time.
Very much. Very much.
Completely. I said that from the first episode. I was like, I love this season. Like, yeah. I don't feel multiple weak links on this, this cast. And for this being the quote-unquote losers episode, I thought that it was stronger performances than the winners episode overall. 100%.
Oh, I think so too.
My jaw dropped more in this episode than it did last one.
100%.
Like they mentioned in Untucked that even though we are pretty sure there are shenanigans behind the scenes and they aren't actually, they didn't really lose the lip sync. They just split them up based on, I don't know what. But they did say that the mental state of being told you have lost this lip sync, you are now in this group with people who lost their lip syncs, it did light a fire under them. And that made them not be so full of themselves that they think, oh, well, then I got this in the bag. And it really made them work harder. And we get to reap the benefits of that because it was really engaging.
100%. Also,
so interesting, because if it's winners and losers of lip syncs, like last week we saw the first group being like, none of us are dancers, none of us know how to dance. And then this episode with all the losers, it's like, we are all professional dancers.
Choreographers.
Like,
yes.
Okay. Like, come through, losing team.
Besides Kamora Hall.
Yeah. Kamora, bless her heart. But Tamisha Iman, who I wish was my mother, definitely like tied it all together and really made sure they didn't forget about Kamora. So that was great.
Also, when it was like eight cooks in the kitchen, I was fed when Tamisha was like,
yeah,
no, like no more of this tomfoolery. Like, we're going over here. We're doing this. Like, it was like mom came to like school all the kids, and I was like, absolutely love it. I'm loving Tamisha so far.
Oh, she
far.
Played
like,
it so smart. Three episodes in, and we already have a Miss Congeniality. If she doesn't get it,
I think she has to get Miss Congeniality. I think it's all about tone. You know, there's a certain way that you can speak to people without like enforcing yourself, and we kind of felt that like, that kind of like immaturity from like some of the younger queens were like, I'm a choreographer and I need to be in control. And Tamisha's like, what works? Does that work? I don't think so. Can we just do this?
Right.
You know?
Also, Tamisha still hasn't unpacked her bag. Like, she still thinks that she's going home. She's just happy to be there. She's like,
I mean, I would too if I just, you know, gotten over colon cancer and felt like I was like, you know, hustling my body out of God knows what just to be here. And then I lost my first lip sync. You know, it's a lot. But I think that she's really, really trying. And I just hope that she just like, you know, like sometimes you just need to trust yourself. You know, I think the only thing I could compare this to is like, if you were singing, like sometimes when I'm singing a song and there's like a really hard passage, you go through it and like you try and like you do it like really rough the first time and you realize that like that's not gonna work. And so if you just like put half the effort and just kind of let it happen, it's all there, you know?
Absolutely. She has to sit back and just like maybe not overthink it so much, maybe like enjoy the process a bit more. Mm-hmm. I think that she's being super courteous towards the other queens, which is thoughtful and wonderful, but I do want to see her like come through and slay it. With that being said, I didn't necessarily agree with the judges' feedback for her performance because I thought that her verse was sickening. I thought that like her vocal tone had so much personality. Yeah. I thought that she held her own on that stage with a lot of good performances. And I think she came right after Kamora Hall, so maybe that's why I thought that it was like great too, because I didn't I thought the Kamoras was like the weaker of the bunch.
Yeah.
But Denali's verse, I rewound it like eight times to watch it over and over again. I was like the only one of both episodes that I could understand every word.
Right.
on first listen. So like Denali was smart enough to be like, I need everyone at home to understand every word that I'm saying mm-hmm. or singing. And like, mm-hmm. I'm going to like be super precise with my diction.
Yeah.
And then like was all this attitude with the choreography, like, and like her flow in the verses. I was like, I would bring you in a writing room any second. I thought that she was yeah. so good. Couldn't stop watching it.
She has like such a good head on her shoulders about that. Yeah. She thought about it in all the right ways. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I think that Denali just elevated the split. Because I don't even know how to explain this, but like another thing that really bothers me are splits because too many people do them for all types of reasons and just blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, unearned splits.
Yeah, unearned splits. But I think she earned her split because there was something so cool that she did where she went down, but she can basically do a split on her toes all the way up until she's almost fully extended. And then she just straightens her ankles. And it was so beautiful and so precise and so controlled. You can tell that she's a figure skater with like ankles of, you know, like her ankles are like guns, you know?
Yeah.
And and I just think that she moves so well that it's going to be such a joy to watch her perform.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, she doesn't just slam herself into the floor. Like she mm-hmm. uses like her like unbelievable like leg muscles from figure skating to like slowly guide her body down to the floor where sometimes queens are just like, I'm throwing my legs apart and I'm slamming myself into the floor and I'll deal with the bruises later.
Now we've seen multiple of those like half splits, the like back split with like one.
If Rosé does that one more time.
If she does that one more time, I hope one of these other queens tell her, like, Rosé, don't do that same split every time you lip sync, okay? As a friend.
Can we talk about the runway? Because there's so many runways, but the first runway, and there are like two standouts, definitely for the first one, was Rosé and Utica.
Yes.
Thank you for saying Utica.
Yes. She was phenomenal.
I mean, I'm so grateful that they got to do this runway because the R bag with the Rosé on the back.
Who is Rosé?
The hat that covered her face. And it was mm-hmm. very like a la Manila Luzon for All Stars.
Yeah.
And then Utica with the balls, like that's how you do I think it's called mod or like 60s mod look. Remember how like Olivia did it the week before and I was like, I don't know, I'm not feeling it.
Yeah.
That's how you do it. What Utica did, that's how you elevate the 60s. Mm-hmm. And then the hocus pocus, weird kind of like,
It's like the almost Victorian. It was
one
like
of my
amazing.
Favorite looks in like the last few years. And if anything, during the feedback, they were like, yeah, her second look was quirky. I was like, did you see the makeup? Did you see the fact that she had like Pippi Longstocking hair that was like iconic? I was like, it wasn't just quirky. It was like, it was an iconic look. It was so good.
And it was Queen Elizabeth meets Hocus Pocus. You know what I mean?
Oh, totally, totally. Oh, that's really good. And I love that she is showing that she had such a big like kookiness to her when we first met her, and like that's as we saw, I mean in the Untucked, that's why some people voted for her because it was like too much. But then she showed right away in the first challenge that she can also be a stunning look queen. Like her personality doesn't stop with kookiness. She
and
can
she's super
turn
sweet,
it out
awful. Like when she was helping with nails, like I was like, okay, like she seems super sweet. Also, I don't know this to be a fact. I haven't seen her merch store, but I don't think that she has nugget keychains. You know what I mean? Like, her quirkiness doesn't feel planned.
Let me take a little peek. Okay, so Utica does have drag queen merch. And it's cute.
Strawberry,
it's just,
right?
it's she did the strawberry pin. She does claws for some reason.
Maybe we haven't seen that.
Yeah, next episode.
Utica's doesn't seem as like crazy. She just did her entrance look in a t-shirt.
Yeah.
She's not pushing something. Like I don't like.
Yeah, she didn't come and be like, I'm making my own nuggets.
Yeah. I'd rather not be pushed on us.
She made drag merch that really doesn't seem to have anything connected to like a line that she said or like a product that she's pushing, you know?
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. So you're right. She's more authentic. but I also think it's cute that she is comfortable with her religion, but is seeming to find like a healthy balance between, she's like, God's great, you know? And I think that's fine. Like, you know,
her line where she said, I'm very much a bring your own God type of gal. Yeah. I thought that was really, really sweet and very diplomatic.
Yeah. And she was like, no pressure to you, but Jesus is great.
Bless her little heart. Oh, that was great.
Also, yeah, like I didn't understand a lot of the words when I watched the first time. When I rewound, I kind of got everything. And she was like, for my saviors, I whip my hair. And then like, not a bone in my body, gonna wiggle to the top, wiggle to the top is my favorite line of the episode.
That's why she just dropped the wiggle to the top merchandise. Okay.
Gotcha.
For me, not a bone in my body, gonna wiggle to the top, wiggle to the top. Literally, like, won that entire performance for me. Like, just those lines I thought was so weird and stupid and amazing.
Yeah.
I loved it because I think she, like, sees herself, or maybe she's mentioned, like, she's one of those, like, inflatable, like, car dealership things with a wig. Like, yeah, you know what I mean?
She's very aware of her long body. Yeah. And you know what? This is also like the distortion of like TV, where like people look bigger than they are. I can't wrap my head around how tall she is. For all intents and purposes, she could just be like 6'1" or something like that. Yeah, right. You know what I mean?
It's just
like,
that all the other girls are 5'9".
Like, yeah. I'm like 6'4". So I imagine that if I were ever on Drag Race, I would just tower over everyone. And like me and RuPaul would just like be chilling. Because, you know, like I'm just taller than most people. But on camera, you look like a giant, you know?
Yeah.
I am so sorry for anyone, for any shade that Ross Matthews got from saying the words crafty, but I'm glad that crafty was said to a white queen and not a black queen on this episode, and I think that that's progress.
Yeah. So let me get this straight. So I haven't seen when he said this in season 12, but was it taken in a way that like it looks like arts and crafts?
So typically, so the crafty drama is that in the past, when like Shea Coulee was doing like a look that maybe Crystal Method might wear,
oh, yeah,
she was called like crafty. When the Vixen, I don't know if it happened to the Vixen, but it was like, it would be like something like, it would be, that's the type of situation where they might call a black queen crafty, whereas they call a white queen like Utica or Thorgy or Crystal like quirky. Oh, it's so great. You know, like blah, blah, blah. So that's some of the criticism that has come to the judges, that like, you know, black queens have to be Beyonce or they don't like it.
Meaning like there's almost like a thing where black queens can't be kooky?
It's not just, it's just that like, they read black queens for not having enough money to spend on their outfits in a way that makes it sound crafty. That's
like, you really cobbled this together? Like that kind of thing? Like you were crafty? Like you really put it together?
Look, it is a thing that like not everyone has the budget for Drag Race, right? Mm-hmm. So like, remember how we keep talking about Diego Montoya? And how he's like basically has he not only dresses some of the queens, he's dressed the all stars and blah blah blah. Diego Montoya did Gottmik's promo look and the LeMay look from last week and Jujubee's look from the finale and Blair St. Clair and has been dressing Sasha Velour for years and did Monet's epic Pope look. You know, like Diego Montoya is all over Drag Race.
Gotcha.
And that stuff is probably not cheap, you know? So
right. This
is where the crafty thing comes from. It's just that queens get red for not having enough money for Drag Race, making it themselves. And then they're like, well, this isn't fashion.
That sucks. That's not cool.
Yeah, it's not cool. But I do think that what Ross was picking up on was that was not a flattering silhouette for Rosé, depending on how she was standing in the outfit. Yeah. When she had her arms down, it looked fine. But when she lifts her arms up, the way that the
waviness of the plastic,
The waviness of the plastic gave her like a boxy shape. So the proportionizing for me for that outfit was not there. I was like, either you're too big for that outfit or they just need to move it up. Like the plastic needs to be up or down.
Because, it's like the silhouette's better with her arms down, for sure. Because, like, that's the real effect, that maybe it didn't have to be so heavy in the body.
Yeah. I mean, it was just in the torso.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm wondering if with Rosé, I might have personally a similar thing as like Jenny Lemon, where it's like, are we going to get the same color every single week? Because I might get a bit tired of that.
Her name is Rosé.
I know.
Yeah, pink is kind of, it's like a big signature, but she doesn't do it all the time. Yeah.
She pretty much always wears pink hair. Like, it's just, that's what you expect.
So it's, but even with Rosé's song, she's obviously a great singer. Mm-hmm. She's a great singer. Her and Jan, great singers, obviously wonderful singers. That's awesome. She, one of her lyrics was, "I'm a fashion clown." Was that not, like, isn't that Thorgy Thor's thing? Because as soon as I heard that, I was like, she's identifying as Thorgy Thor. I was like, isn't that what Thorgy Thor said? Oh, she's a fashion clown. So I was like, you're introducing yourself under what Thorgy Thor called herself. I think maybe I'm totally off base there, but like Rosé was introducing herself in song, and I was like, oh, so you're Thorgy Thor? Is that what you're saying? I was like,
you know what? I think that like Rosé. Do you know what I think it is? Rosé keeps acting like she's this like comedy queen, which I'm sure she is. She's very funny. But she's too pretty to be like just like a straight up comedy
queen. That's the thing. Is it like she, I know Ross is a very funny person.
In and out of drag.
So hilarious. But drag, or at least what we're seeing on the show, it's like, yes, comedy queen or fashion clown. I would never describe Rosé as a clown like queen. And even though she's very funny, she also has said at one point, just like, oh, it was in this episode, I don't always do something that's super feminine in my drag. And I'm like, girl, you look feminine always. You are doing feminine things. So I don't know if it's like not registering or reading in the same way that she intends it to, or a misconception of her own self. I'm not totally sure because, yeah, there's a bit of a like misconnection.
Well, I think this happens when like queens, they don't fit into like a box per se. This is what Jan ran into, right?
Like
Jan was able to have all the connections to have all of these crazy costumes. And Jan was like, I can do conceptual, I can do fashion, I can do this, and I'm a singer and I'm a dancer. Mm-hmm. But it's because she can do all of the things, but like she hasn't really defined her aesthetic. I think that Rosé, my favorite Rosé look was the one that she did. Well, obviously the fashion looks were great. But the more like the Rosé that I'm used to seeing is the pink one from how she's drenched in pink, but it's like cool, it's fashion, it's like kind of like Moulin Rouge. And if she could like get into that kind of aesthetic, I feel like that would fit because she's such a singer, she's such a dancer, she's basically a cabaret. She should just get into cabaret. That's what I'm trying to say.
She's like this close to nailing down like her thing, you know?
Yeah.
Like this close.
But she also entered in with that, like with the fake gap tooth being like, hey, so like she was leaning into the comedy for that.
Which didn't work.
But while looking like a bodysuit femme queen, you know? So
when has a gap tooth ever worked?
Unless you stick to it. You have to, I mean, if she had committed to it, well.
How do you commit to a gap tooth? It's like, here are my teeth.
Because it's like, how was she going to commit to it the whole time? Like, that's a little, that would have been actually more weird. You couldn't have sold it.
A sponge queen, she is not. So,
yes. What's interesting for me is if you look at, I think it was season 6, if you look at Max, there was such an issue with Max having silver hair every week. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if Rosé is going to get that same treatment. I'm wondering, like, Joey J is getting that treatment. Like,
wigless. Yeah.
For having 3 wigless looks.
Well, you know. But let's be real here. Joey J had 3 of the same outfits, 3 of the same.
Hello. That's why it's easier to call that hair out because they all looked the same.
Yeah. If Joey could have just put on a hat, you know,
like, or something like a little piece on the head.
Just a little bit of hair on the side. Like a little mermaid situation, but like shaven at the side, you know. Yeah. I don't know.
But she apparently has some wigs and nobody's getting sent home this season. So well,
she
see
came
all
in wearing
them.
A wig. She came in wearing a wig and then she wasn't going to wear a wig for the rest of the season.
Yeah, all
she
just the queen stuff about I don't usually wear a wig and then boom, she's right there in a wig.
Well, I think she just needs to change it up.
Yeah.
One episode with a wig, one episode without a wig. So if she has to do 3 looks, you know, runway, you know, four, because she did the performance. And then
Ross called her out 4 times.
Yeah.
You know, so same hair.
I think it would
make more sense maybe if she introduced herself without a wig, because I got to know her as, oh, she wears wigs. And now it's like, oh, wait, never mind. You got to know me as wearing wigs, but I actually don't wear wigs. I was like, okay, well, maybe introduce me as you don't wear wigs. And then, like, oh, a wig would be like, oh, a nice surprise to see a wig here and there. But I'm like, I got to know her in episode one is like, oh, this wet hair, you know, super femme hair person.
Yeah. No, it's, I don't know if that's going to work for her. So just in case anyone was wondering, Tandy Mondiamond, who did the split of the century, she died of complications from HIV. So she is another queer person that we've lost to HIV AIDS, if anyone was wondering. There's not really that much out there about her that's known. So I'm sure that there are like videos here and there, but like that she was a pageant queen, epic performer, and a wonderful child of our dear Tamisha. Kimora seems like she's like escaping. She's like either she's trapped in a bad relationship in her head.
Oh God, yeah.
Or there's like a weird thing going on with her boyfriend that I don't want to go into a lot too specific, but like something is trapping her from expressing herself.
Yeah.
And I'm very worried.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was kind of a bummer to hear about. So I mean, maybe we'll learn more about it. Hopefully there's more of a picture we're not seeing, but so far that sounded pretty kind of crushing.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that we all go through this sometimes. Like there may be certain things that we don't feel comfortable pursuing or trying out or doing differently because we want to fit into a box. I mean, this happens to straight people all the time, but I think queer people, a lot of times it's like, what box do I fill in? Am I mask enough? Am I femme enough? Am I too, gay and in this kind of moment? But I think that like this is where RuPaul's Drag Race like becomes a show that like it can help you kind of like face those things. And I was glad to see her trying to work through this, and I hope that like we'll see that kind of blossom. But if she is late for one more thing, the production is gonna let her go.
They're gonna be like, okay, well, you're cut.
For me, I'm just like, it's like if you come to Drag Race and you don't know how to sew. You're coming to Drag Race, you know you're going to have to get ready in a cramped amount of time not your normal.
In an hour. They tell you, you have to do an hour. That's how long you can take to do your makeup. And they don't have more time than that.
And for me, like when I'm on tour, I'd love 8 hours to warm up. I'd love to not have to go to a radio station and perform at 6 a.m. But like, in order to have the job that you want, you got to take what's available to you and you have to be able to like make it work. So I was like, for me, it rubbed me the wrong way a little bit because in professional situations, there's so many times where you just have to make it work. And even though she showed up and looked great and made it work, like she kind of still didn't make it work because everyone was waiting for her.
Yeah.
And like, production was paging, we need Kimora or we're going to go without her. To me, like the problem's already been created because you've left a bad impression now in front of everyone.
Well, also, they changed her order in the runway for the second runway.
Yes.
Do you think that she went at the end of the first runway because she was still putting on her stuff?
100%.
And then she was slated, to 100%. Go. Is it, how many, were there seven people or six? I can't remember, but basically she went fifth the second time, right? So again, she probably was like changing her outfit again. I mean, that's really, you can't do that. And I think
that's not going to fly.
I love talking to like a working, musician / performer like you and being just like, you can't be late. Who's going to let you do that? I mean, this is like what, when people ask like, why did Lindsay Lohan have so much trouble like making a comeback, it's because she wouldn't show up to things on time or be ready to perform when it was her time to perform. Your time is your time. Or the start time is the start time.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think we never got a Herbie Fully Loaded too? That's probably the only
reason.
That's
the only reason why.
So here's my theory. Okay. So at first I thought they were creating COVID clusters, right? When they split up the thing and they did it backwards and they were like, okay, we're going to start you in like six. And maybe they were like, honestly, maybe they were like, we're going to try the first episode. We're going to try and keep everyone really separate. If things go well with production, we'll keep going. Maybe that's the case. But actually, because when I was watching Untucked, they talked about how much they went through in order to get to the show. They had to be, they had to quarantine together before they started filming. So, you know, like it was a significant amount of time that they were literally like leaving their life. And I don't know how they pay for their, I don't know how you pay for your rent when you sign up to go to RuPaul's Drag Race, unless they give you a check when you start, you know what I mean? Cause you don't have time to deal with that stuff. But the thing is, I think that almost as like a gift to the queens for choosing to do the show in this way, they had them appear on 3 episodes. Cause I think you make more money for every episode that you're on. Cause that's a different appearance. Mm-hmm. Right. So like now, so like with Dahlia Sin, you know how like they've been taking the first queen that gets cut off and they've been bringing her back.
Broccoli appears in nine episodes.
Yeah. In 9 episodes. But that means that she has an appearance in every single one of those episodes. Yeah. So her fee for this season would be equal to that of the top 3. Right?
Understood. So interesting.
For like each episode that you're on. So I think that as an extra kind of like way to, you know, pay the queens for their time, they're all in the first 4 episodes.
Interesting. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I mean, it also like creates the drama, but it also creates a very creative way to pay these queens more than they would normally make from doing a regular season of Drag Race.
But do you think the production on a reality show would be that thoughtful and courteous, considering the fact that like every queen wants this gig, or most queens want this gig? It's like if someone's going to be like, I'm not going to take the show because I can't do it, like that they would have a hard time finding another queen to fill that slot if someone was like, it's COVID, I'm not going to do it. You know what I mean?
I know. And I want to think, I know that production can be shady, so but I also think that what was surprising to hear is that it was hard to find queens for All Stars. Not everyone wanted to do All Stars because it was like COVID era and stuff. So I do think there were probably some people that said no, I would assume.
Understood. I never got on board with the whole COVID cluster thing because in my mind, and I don't think we can pay to get tested up here in Canada. Like, I don't think that that's the thing. Like, if I wanted to get tested whenever I wanted, I think it's only government sanctioned. Like, I can only go to the testing places. Mm-hmm. But correct me if I'm wrong, in the States, if production wanted to pay out of pocket to get people to come in and get tested all the time, they could test all these queens often and regularly, correct? Like,
and that's that's what they do with the
COVID. The COVID, I assume, like, there's a definite, like, for any production that's filming, there's a definite like schedule of testing that you have to be doing.
They get tested, I think, 3 times a week.
But then why would they have to be separated in their groups for filming the first episode? Do you know what I mean? Like, why would it need to be smaller groups at that point?
I was just thinking they were trying to keep, you know, like social distancing and like, you know, like, you know, like how in like England they have like, you know, the rule of 6, like you can't gather more than 6 people.
But also then like, you know, God forbid someone had COVID and spread it. Like, you only have half the cast gone. Well,
no, that would have worked, right? Cut those 6. Goodbye. Keep on going. Everyone speaks poorly over production and how they screw over the queens and how they kick queens off, blah, blah, blah. But I feel like there was some sort of kumbaya good vibes from keeping the queens on this long. I think it was better. I loved getting to know these queens.
So much better. You know? And I think hopefully it sends a message to the community to stop being so toxic.
Yeah, and this, and I think that the rebranding of like the winners and like, you know, the winners lip syncing, blah, 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 also is bringing a kind of like more positive element to the lip sync for your life. You know, you're lip syncing to win and you're being rewarded and you're getting to perform. And for the first time, I feel like it's easier to separate the wheat from the chaff. Wheat from the chaff, not wheat.
I'm also loving the sisterhood that the quote-unquote losers group has built together. I think that it's so sweet. It seems very humble. It seems very hardworking, which I appreciate. It's a different energy in the winner's circle. I'm intrigued to see how the two cohorts interact.
Yeah.
And also if their first 2-episode bonds last throughout the season or if people start jumping ship.
I think it's fake.
I think it's real.
I think it's fake. I mean, even Rosé was like, like, I couldn't imagine sending any of you home, blah, blah, blah. And then Rosé was like, someone said something like, we're also
banned. But at the same time, we know every week queens will be eliminated.
Well, no, but Rosé very bluntly was like, the reason why we're here is because we lost. So yes, oh, yeah, I could imagine
it was like humor to break the tension. I think.
Yeah, but I honestly, I do think that like it's kind of like a hostage syndrome kind of thing. You love everyone you're with because they're the only people that you could get to spend time with. But like Denali said, oh, you just came here to make friends. Great. Well, I can take the crown. You know what I mean? Like there are a couple queens in there who like give no, who say, love you, girl, blah, blah, blah. Now get out of my way. And it's very clear who they are.
Denali is hungry. She seems like she's gonna she's a hard worker, and she seems the hungriest out of the entire cast in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Like especially in her performance in this episode, she was like, okay, I couldn't pull it off in ice skates, so let me like let these people know that I should have been in the other group. And I think that she did that,
and she's my one to watch.
Did anyone catch the family resemblance from the House of Stephanie's Child?
Oh, in Jan, terms of
like
Jan and
like, yeah, yes. 100%.
They both have strong resting face crack energy.
yes. I can't.
Rue keeps bringing them to the to like right up to a win, and then being like, No explanation. Who's to watch right now? U.S.
Only one. Can I go last?
Okay, you can do two because I feel like there are more stars right now.
Okay, Tamisha Iman, and I know I can't say why, but just like Ubu, and then Gottmik. It's probably a popular answer, but Nick, what are you feeling?
If I have to say one, it's Denali. If I have to say two, God, it might be harder to say two. You know what? I don't know. I'm just gonna say one. I'm just gonna say Denali for now.
Oh, rude.
I can't think of 13 other people at the moment.
This is how good it is. I even forgot that there's like a whole nother set to choose from. So damn. Okay. Simone, still. Oh, and damn, they're too good. They're just too good.
They're too good. And making us spend more time with them in these first four episodes is like making it even harder. So.
Okay, I will still say Rosé, but there's so many other people that
I think Rosé is going to go far. For sure. Yeah.
Okay, so this is why we need to have four guests, because then we can say like eight people can win.
And Utica.
Yeah, I know. And Utica. Anyway, yeah.
Okay. They're all too good.
Yeah. Matthew. You know, friend Olapod, it has been such a pleasure having you here with us today. I can't believe how lovely you are. You're such a nice, and I say nice in a weird, not like, you know, people like are like shady about nice. Like you're such a kind person. That's what it is. You're kind with like lots of intelligence, and you like put in the work to do it.
Oh, well, that is very sweet. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. This was so much fun. I really enjoyed this. So thank you so much for having me on and letting me grace your podcast. This has been such a treat. Letting me grace your podcast, letting me be on your graceful podcast, shall I say.
So you have graced us. You said it right.
Thank you for letting me grace your podcast. Oh, my God.
You have graced us.
Thank you for having me on your wonderful podcast.
He did that Canadian thing where it's like, we think he's so nice, but he's actually really full of himself. as Nick was saying, where can people find you, stalk you, just drink up all of the green square?
I mean, just check any bathroom wall. I'm sure you'll find something about me on there.
There it is.
I am at Matthew V Music on any social media. Matthew only has one T. Elliot with two T's is shook. Could never. So yeah, Matthew V Music. Say hi if you want to pop in and say hi. I would love to chat with anyone. If you want to become a rat.
A friendum?
Come on, rats. Tails
you
up.
Want to join the friendum.
There you go. Exactly. But yeah, absolutely. I'd love to say hi to anyone, but thank y'all so much for having me. It's been such a treat.
I'm going to put so many like Ratatouille memes like next to you, which is like,
send you a pizza for Pizza Rat.
Yeah. And everyone better be checking out that single Halo on January 29th. Halo. You thought Beyonce did it? Just wait.
just wait and then forget that Beyonce did it so that I can actually like maybe have it stand on.
What name do y'all keep saying?
Oh gosh.
Do we have an album title yet, or is that a secret?
It's a secret, but okay. It is yeah, Halo's out on January 29th.
Okay, are we getting awesome. The full album on January 29th, or are we just getting no. a single?
I wish that I could just drop a full album and like enough people would care about it, but I gotta make this stuff last. I gotta like milk it as much as I can.
You are such a tease. Just like, that's all we get? Just one song?
There's more like done. Like they're coming. Okay. They're on this. And trust me, 2021 has like a lot of music. Y'all okay, gonna be like, that again? Can we go back to the sewers, please?
Okay. Well, if you release enough music, maybe we'll do like a second Whispering Hunties playlist where we will just do like Canadian edition. It'll be like you and Ralph and Ali X just like chilling, you know.
Oh yes, Ralph is a sweetheart. I love Ralph.
Oh my god.
We all know each other up here. I went on tour with Ralph. Oh, I was awesome. On show two of my tour with Ralph.
That's
when
amazing.
The pandemic happened, we were heading to the airport and I was like, do we have to get on this plane? Like, I don't think we should get on this plane. And then I told my manager, can I not get on the plane? And he was like, okay, fine, I'll figure it out. Don't get on the plane. And then on the way home, they were like, the world's shutting down. The airports are closed. I was like, well, I wanted to get on that plane.
Ralph is a deep friend of the pod from like when we first launched. I don't know if you know, but like we misquoted her, like how well she's done on the charts. And she very sassily was listening to the pod. She's like, just so you know, I was in the top 20, blah, blah, blah. And we were all just like, we're so sorry, Ralph. We actually really liked you. And we felt like they weren't giving you enough screen time. And we just think that you're amazing. And then, you know, Ralph was just like so cute and was like sending us like, you know, like insider tea about like a couple things that we were only what we were allowed to mention, nothing that would break a contract. So Ralph, I mean, you know what, just there's so much talent up north that it needs to come down south.
I mean, we gave the world Celine Dion and Shania Twain, so like we're tapped out. We're like, hey, we have done our task. You're welcome.
And Carly Rae and the horror that is Justin Bieber.
I'm on Carly Rae's record label, the 604 Records in Vancouver. Carly Rae is like, every time I hear that song, I thank her. I'm like, when it was on Drag Race, I was like, yay, thank you for paying what I'm doing.
Oh my gosh. Well, we'll hopefully have you back. I'm praying that we'll have some Canada's Drag Race and we can get some like boots on the ground Canadian, you know, couture knowledge.
Cannot wait.
Yeah, but such a pleasure. We'll be adding Halo to our playlist. And if anyone gets lost on the internet, as can happen if you're crazy, just go to our Instagram. Look at our links. We have a Whispering Hunties playlist. Matthew is a frequent offender, or is a frequent. He's charting really high on our playlist.
Thank you.
Along with some other great. It's actually like mostly Canadian musicians, to be honest.
Love that for us.
Because it's like it's Ali X, Ralph, you. And a lot of like Vincent, who's like not, I don't know where Vincent's from. I think he's American, but
Vincent's in LA, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. But I was like, I actually don't know where Vincent is from. Vincent could be like East End London, but like, you know, I don't know. Cause I've never heard Vincent talk. I've just heard Vincent sing. Okay. We are going way over. So we love you. And we'll see everyone next week, guys.
So good to meet you. Thank you.
Bye. Whispering Hunties is not endorsed by World Wonder, VH1, SkyCom, Great Canada, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. We will Drag Race and Canada Drag Race and all names, pictures, all music, unregistered trademarks, and or copyrights, their respective copyright holders.
Thanks for listening to the Apocalypse Podcast Network. For more great podcasts, go to apocalypsepodcastnetwork.com. And remember, every time you support one of our sponsors, you're supporting the podcast you just heard.